road. While in college, my friends and I embarked on a spring break road trip from Chicago to South Florida. Naturally, as young men, we were gushing with anticipation and enamored with the destination, a sunny, crowded Florida beach of scantily clad, well-tanned, boozed-up college co-eds. Unfortunately, preoccupied with the destination, we failed to address the journey and the vehicle that we relied upon to get us there. 8 hours into the trip, our old Dodge Duster started billowing smoke and clanked to a stop. With a ruptured gasket and no oil, our trip stalled on some country road in the middle of southern Illinois. Cows, manure stink, and cornfields light years away from the sandy beaches of South Florida. Sadly for most, the journey to wealth often ends like my spring break road trip, stalled on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, left to ask, how the hell did I get here? Like my spring break trip, to know and drive the road to wealth is not enough because the road itself is deficient in delivering wealth. Your pursuit of wealth stalls when the focus is the road and its destination and not the road trip. Sure, the fast lane might open a rapid road to wealth, but a successful road trip will demand your respect for all the trip's vital tools. My spring break stalled because we neglected the road trip and focused on the road. Oil? Roadmap? Screw it. We'll just hit the road and head south. When you disregard critical road trip components, your engine redlines, oil burns stale, gas is squandered, and decade-long detours are encountered. When your focus is only the road, your journey is likely to stall and dreamy destinations never arrive. Wealth's illusionary road. If wealth has escaped you, it's probably because you're road-focused and not using the entire formula. Sure, you might have bits and pieces, an ingredient captured from a book or two, or another is seeded by a get-rich seminar or a hot stock tip from your broke college buddy. Unfortunately, these isolated ingredients can't create wealth and are likened to a car stuck on the road to wealth with an empty gas tank and a dead battery. You can't crack wealth's code with one variable in a multivariable equation. Wealth's road trip is like a recipe. Imagine if I threw you into the kitchen with sugar and flour and ordered you to bake cookies. The feat is impossible because two ingredients alone don't make the entire formula. Forget the baking soda and the cookies won't rise. Remove the butter and the cookies taste awful. One forgotten or flawed ingredient and the process fails. Therein lies the fault with most wealth books. They are road-focused. They specialize in the most tantalizing part of the formula, the sugar. They tell you,
buy foreclosures to get rich. Buy a franchise and be your own boss. Learn the mystical secret law and think positive. Start a business. Invest in real estate for passive income. Trade your way to riches with currencies.
These strategies highlight the various roads to wealth. The real estate road, the trading road, the business road. They address nothing else. The failure is within the else, because the else is the rest of the formula. Millionaires are forged by process, not by events. All self-made multimillionaires create their wealth by a carefully orchestrated process. They haven't used the entire formula. Despite what you may have read or heard, wealth is not an event. Wealth doesn't drop from the sky or come from a game show. It doesn't ring the doorbell and await you on the front porch with balloons and the check the size of a refrigerator. Wealth does not chime from a machine with spinning bars, lemons, and cherries. Wealth is a process, not an event. Ask any chef and they will confirm that the perfect dish is a series of ingredients and a well-engineered process of execution. A little of this, a little of that, done at the right time and at the right place, and wham, you have a tasty meal. Wealth creation is the same method of execution, a fabricated accumulation of many disassociated ingredients into an assembled whole that has value and is worth millions. Wealth eludes most people because they are preoccupied with events while disregarding process. Without process, there is no event. Process makes millionaires, and the events you see and hear are the results of that process. For our chef, the cooking is the process, while the meal is the event. For example, an athlete who scores a $50 million contract to play pro basketball is an event from process. You see and hear about the big contract, the spectacular get-rich event, but you typically ignore the process that preceded the event. The process was the long, arduous road you didn't witness. The daily four-hour practices, the midnight pickup basketball games, the torn ligaments, the surgery, the rehabilitation, the rejection of being cut from the junior varsity team, and the resistance to the neighborhood gangs, all fabricates the journey that forms process. When a 20-year-old sells his internet company for $30 million, you read about it on a tech blog. The event is lauded and showcased for all to admire. Sidelined is the process. You didn't hear about the long hours of coding the founder had to endure. You didn't hear about the cold, dark days working in the garage. You didn't hear about the company was founded on credit cards at 21% interest. You didn't hear about the founder and his rusty piece of shit Toyota with 174,000 miles. When J. Darius Bickoff founded Glacial Vitamin Water in 1996, and 11 years later, Coca-Cola offers him $4.1 billion for the company, the offer makes headline news around the world. What doesn't? The 11 years of struggle forged by a sharpened process. The billion-dollar offer is the event. The process is the struggle and the backstory. The sale of my company climaxed in an event, but its fruition was carved by process. Outsiders see the nice house and the expensive cars and might think, wow, if only I could be so lucky. Such a belief is a mirage of event over process. All events of wealth are preceded by process, a backstory of trial, risk, hard work, and sacrifice. If you try to skip process, you'll never experience events. Unfortunately, as a media-driven, I-want-it-now society, we spotlight and glorify the event, but usher the process behind the woodshed, carefully drying its sweat from the public cognition. However, if you search long and hard, you can always find the process buried in another story or in the trailing paragraphs that glorify the event. When you make your first million, it will be because of process and not some clandestine happenstance that just happened to waltz across your path. Process is the road trip to wealth. The destination shines as an event, but it's found by process. Yes, the elevator to success is out of order. You're going to need to climb the stairs. Wealth's Road Trip Formula. The formula for wealth's road trip is like a long road trip across the country. Success demands your focused exercise into the journey and the tools of that journey, process, as opposed to the destination, event. There are four constituent ingredients that make up the winning formula. They are your roadmap, parts 3, 4, and 5. The compass for your trip, your roadmap, is the guiding force behind your actions. Your roadmap makes up your financial belief system and your preconceived convictions about wealth and money. There are three roadmaps that will chart your course to wealth. Number 1, the sidewalk. Number 2, the slow lane. Number 3, the fast lane. Much like a recipe, your roadmap will outline why, where, how, and what. Your vehicle, part 6. Your vehicle is you. No one can drive the journey but you. Your vehicle is a complicated system of oil, gas, an engine, a steering wheel, a windshield, horsepower, and an accelerator, all needing frequent tuning and maintenance to ensure peak efficiency during the trip. Your roads, part 7. Your roads are financial pathways that you elect to travel. For example, you can travel the job road, and within that road, you have limitless choices. You can be an engineer, a project manager, a physician, a plumber, or a truck driver. Then there are entrepreneurial roads. You can be a real estate investor, a retail store owner, a franchiser, an internet marketer, or an inventor. Just like a road trip across the country, roads are plentiful with millions of permutations. Your speed, part 8. Speed is the execution and your ability to go from idea to implementation. You could sit in a Ferrari on an empty straight road, but if you fail to hit the accelerator, you fail to move. Without speed, your roadmap has no direction. Your vehicle stands idle and your road mutates into a dead end. The road trip is paved with toll roads. Successful fast lane travelers are warriors who live and die on rough roads. Toll roads pave the road to wealth, and the toll can't be paid on easy street. For some of us, this is good news, because the toll weeds out the weak and escorts them to the land of normal. If you resist the toll, wealth will resist you. Unfortunately, some feel that wealth's toll can be paid by entitlements or certain prerequisites such as a functional family or good childhood, hard work versus smart work, educational accomplishments and credentials after your name, a stellar business plan, venture capital, being a certain sex, color, or age, wishing, dreaming, and thinking positively, knowing the right people in the right places, attending the right schools, being passionate or doing what you love. Nothing is further from the truth. The millionaire fast lane doesn't care about these things. The fast lane isn't a straight and smooth tree-lined street with white picket fences and children swinging on tires hanging from oak trees. It's a dark, deserted, unpaved road strewn with potholes that forces change and evolution. If the road trip to wealth were easy, wouldn't everyone be wealthy? Expect a price to be paid. Expect risk and sacrifice. Expect bumps in the road. When you hit your first pothole, and yes, it will happen, know that you are forging the process of your unfolding story. The fast lane process demands sacrifices that few make to resolve to live like few can. The road trip can't be outsourced to a chauffeur. We live in a society that wants to outsource everything from our household chores to raising our kids. Outsourcing may work for a dirty bathroom, but it doesn't work for wealth. Wealth's road trip has no chauffeur, and the toll can't be outsourced to a virtual assistant in India. Had someone gifted a Lamborghini to me or any dream when I was 16 years old, I can guarantee you I wouldn't be where I am today. When someone grants you your desires without you having to exert any effort, you effectively handicap process. The person I needed to become would have been dwarfed because process would have been outsourced. There is no wisdom or personal growth gained on a journey that someone else does for you. The journey is yours. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. Wealth is a formula, not an ingredient. Process makes millionaires. Events are byproducts of process. To seek a wealth chauffeur is to seek a surrogate for process. Process cannot be outsourced because process dons wisdom, personal growth, strength, and events. Chapter 4, The Roadmaps to Wealth. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Lewis Carroll. The Compass for Wealth. If you don't know where you are going, how will you know when you get there? If your destination is undefined, undoubtedly you'll never arrive and likely end in a place you don't want to be. Wealth is found with a roadmap, not a dartboard. Self-made millionaires don't become millionaires by stumbling into money, just as financial failures don't become failures by stumbling into poorness. Both are the direct result of the financial roadmap chosen and the actions and beliefs that evolve from that roadmap. Your financial roadmap is definitive to process. It's the first tool for your road trip to wealth. Your current financial situation is a product of your existing roadmap, whether chosen or not. Your roadmap guides your actions, and the consequences of those actions have created your financial life. How your life unfolds is determined by your choices, and these choices originate from your belief systems, and those belief systems evolve from your predisposed roadmap. If you want to change your life, change your choices. To change your choices, you must change your belief system. Your belief system is defined by your roadmap. How do beliefs affect finances? Beliefs precede choices, which precede action. For example, if you believe rich people got rich investing in mutual funds, your actions will reflect that belief. If some financial guru tells you to cancel your credit cards because all debt is bad, you do it. If an author says, $50 invested today will be worth $10 million in 40 years, and you believe it, your actions reflect that belief. Beliefs are powerful mechanisms that drive action, whether true or not. Our parents said Santa Claus was real, and we believed it. We left cookies, we looked out the window for the flying reindeer, and we wondered how he got his big butt down the chimney. We believe what we're taught until we gather evidence to the contrary. Your belief system acts like a roadmap, a compass that, if errant, could lead you to a lifetime of detours. Fictitious beliefs are lying roadmaps. They escort you down dead-end roads, where wealth, next exit, never happens. The three financial roadmaps to wealth. Plotting your course to wealth and building your process starts with an examination of your current financial roadmap and the alternatives. There are three financial roadmaps: the sidewalk roadmap, the slow lane roadmap, and the fast lane roadmap. Within these three roadmaps lies a psychology, a belief system that dictates actions relative to each roadmap. More importantly, each roadmap operates within a universe governed by a mathematical wealth equation. Whatever roadmap you choose, your universe for wealth creation will abide by each map's respective wealth equation. Additionally, each roadmap is naturally predisposed toward a specific destination. Those predispositions are: the sidewalk is predisposed to poorness. The slow lane is predisposed to mediocrity. The fast lane is predisposed to wealth. Whichever financial roadmap you follow will predispose you to the destination inherent in the roadmap, the roadmap's true essence. What is true essence? If you play blackjack and win 15 consecutive hands, you violate the true essence of randomness. The natural state of randomness is not to deliver 15 wins in a row. When a wild African lion is tamed to perform in a Las Vegas magic act, the lion is trained to violate its true essence. The lion naturally wants to hunt, to be wild, to kill, to feed, to mate. The lion wants to revert to its natural self, which is why some flamboyant magicians get their heads bitten off. You have to be special to bend the laws of true essence. Similarly, the roadmaps each possess a true essence that either leads to poorness, mediocrity, or wealth. For example, if you follow the sidewalk, you'll likely end up poor. While wealth is possible using any of the maps, finding it via a roadmap not predisposed to wealth is improbable. Each roadmap contains key mindsets that act as signposts or mind posts that provide direction and give actions just like a roadmap. These mind posts are: debt perception. Does debt control you, or do you control your debt? Time perception. How is your time valued and treated? Abundant, fleeting, inconsequential? Education perception. What role does education have in your life? Money perception. What is money's role in your life? Is money a tool or a toy? Plentiful or scarce? Primary income source. What is your primary means of creating income? Primary wealth accelerator. How are you accelerating your net worth and creating wealth, or are you? Wealth perception. How do you define wealth? Wealth equation. What is your mathematical plan for accumulating wealth? What wealth equation defines the physics of your wealth universe? Destination. Is there a destination? If so, what does it look like? Responsibility and control. Are you in control of your life and your financial plan? Life perception. How do you live your life? Do you plan for the future, forsake today for tomorrow, or tomorrow for today? The roadmaps operate within distinct universes. Each roadmap operates under a specific set of mathematical formulas, the wealth equation, that determines the speed at which you can create wealth. Like Einstein's E equals mc squared, these formulas govern your wealth universe much like physics govern our universe. And because physics are bound by mathematical absolutes, so are your equations and probabilities to wealth. The velocity of wealth acceleration evolves from your chosen roadmap's universe. And it's within these universes that your financial plan accelerates or stalls. Think of it as a railroad track, with each track having its own set of speeds, rules, and laws. You can hop aboard a track that allows a speed of 20 miles an hour, or speeds of 200 miles an hour. If you're unhappy in your financial situation, you can change your universe immediately by switching roadmaps. However, first you have to understand the roadmaps to swap them. Let's dissect the three roadmaps in the next three parts of the Millionaire Fast Lane: the sidewalk, the slow lane, and the fast lane. Chapter summary, fast lane distinctions. To force change, change must come from your beliefs, and your roadmap outlines those beliefs. Each roadmap is governed by a wealth equation and predisposed to a financial destination: the sidewalk to poorness, the slow lane to mediocrity, and the fast lane to wealth. Part 3, Poorness, the Sidewalk Roadmap. Chapter 5, The Road Most Traveled, the Sidewalk. When you're the first person whose beliefs are different from what everyone else believes, you're basically saying, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. That's a very unpleasant position to be in. It's at once exhilarating and at the same time an invitation to be attacked. Larry Ellison. The Sidewalk Roadmap. Most people are lifelong sidewalkers, followers of the sidewalk roadmap. The sidewalk is the plan most followed, a contract for a pleasurable today in lieu of a more secure tomorrow. A sidewalker exists in a state of one something from broke, one album failure from broke, one business deal from broke, one gig from broke, one layoff from broke. On the sidewalk, you're always one something from being homeless, bankrupt, or back living in your parents' basement. Yes, some sidewalkers actually earn large incomes, but none of them ever obtains true wealth. Don't let the contradiction fool you. The sidewalk doesn't have an exit ramp to wealth, only a dead-end sign signaling impending doom. The sidewalker's road trip is a financial treadmill with the destination that typically ceases at bankruptcy or a crisis of reckoning. What is a sidewalker? A sidewalker's financial destination doesn't exist. The plan is to have no plan. Surplus money is immediately spent on the next great gadget, the next trip, the next newer car, the next fashionable styles, or the next hot fad. Sidewalkers are carelessly trapped in a lifestyle servitude fed by an urgent, insatiable need for pleasure, image, and instant gratification. This perpetuates a cascading cycle that spins faster every month, increasing the velocity of the burden, forever enslaving the sidewalker to their job or their business. The sidewalk is the road most traveled because it's the path of least resistance. Its siren song is instant gratification, and money is a hot potato that's quickly exchanged for the latest fix of the day. Want to witness how sidewalkers live and think? Watch the television show Judge Judy for a few hours. Daughters suing moms for $100, people denying responsibility, consequence ignorance, people wanting rent for free. Seriously, the show should be renamed Life from the Sidewalk. The Mind Posts of a Sidewalker. The sidewalker's roadmap contains behavioral characteristics that drive the sidewalker's actions. These mindsets are signposts or mind posts that guide the sidewalker through life. Debt perception.
Credit allows me to buy things now. Credit cards, consolidation loans, car payments, these supplement my income and help me enjoy life today. If I want it now, I'm going to get it now.
Time perception.
Time is abundant and I spend like there's no tomorrow. Heck, I could be dead in 2 weeks and you can't take it with you.
Education perception.
I finished school when I graduated. Hooray!
Money perception.
If you got it, flaunt it. Why save for a rainy day? I spend every dime I earn and most of my bills are paid on time. Isn't that being fiscally responsible?
Primary income source.
Whatever gig pays the most is what I will do. I chase the money, baby. It's all about the Benjamins.
Primary Wealth Accelerator.
Net worth? I hit the casino, I buy lottery tickets, and I have an active lawsuit against an insurance company. Doesn't that count?
Wealth Perception.
He who dies with the most toys wins.
Wealth Equation.
My formula for wealth is wealth equals income plus debt.
Destination.
What destination? I live for today and I can't be bothered about tomorrow.
Responsibility and control.
Everything bad happens to me. The man is keeping me down. I am a victim. It's someone else's fault.
Life perception.
Live today to hell with tomorrow. Life is too short to plan out any further than 30 days. You can't take it with you. You're only young once. Besides, I'll hit it big someday.
The disturbing sidewalking facts. While these hypothetical mind posts and their commentary might sound ridiculous, they aren't. Just look at the data. Read the reports. According to the U.S. Census Bureau study conducted in 2000, before the technology implosion of 2001 and the financial crisis in 2008, here are the disturbing facts. A person under the age of 55 is 57% likely to have zero net worth or negative net worth. An estimated 62% of all households in the U.S. have less than $100,000 in net worth. 89% of all under 35 households have a net worth less than $100,000. A person in the 35 to 44 age range has a median net worth of $13,000, excluding home equity. A person in the age range 45 to 54 has a median net worth of $23,000, excluding home equity. In a 2007 Census Bureau survey, 61% of all people who earned income earned less than $35,000 a year. This data unmasks the ugliness behind the Botox injections and the luxury German sedans. Sidewalkers are the majority. An estimated 60% of adults live their lives on the sidewalk. Yes, the world is full of financial illusionists. Once the recent financial crises are factored in, the latest figures will devolve into chilling depths. I estimate 85% of American families will have zero or negative net worth. But you can bet they have 650 cable channels streaming into their 5 flat-screen HD TVs. If you're older than 35 and you have less than $13,000 in net worth, let me be blunt. What you're doing isn't working. You need a new roadmap. The standard sidewalker, income poor. Income poor sidewalkers are the mainstream populace and reflect the lower to middle class. These sidewalkers work for modest salaries and possess all the toys to show for it, but have little savings and no retirement plan. Their future is mortgaged to the hilt in favor of a lifestyle with purchase affordability of any extravagance determined by the monthly payment. Every dime is spoken for, car payments, clothes, or is sent to stave off the credit reaper. If you live this way, you're driving at the financial red line on a narrow road bordering a cliff. There is little hope for sidewalkers because their roadmap is corrupted by gratification, selfishness, and irresponsibility. This problematic disposition repels wealth and thrusts codependency on overburdened hosts, taxpayers, employers, friends, parents, and loved ones. Income-poor sidewalkers rationalize. Life is short. Get out of my way or get run over. Sidewalking symptoms. Are you on it? You haven't learned much since graduating from high school or college.
I'm done with school. Hooray!
You change jobs frequently.
Come on, MJ. I left because this other job pays more.
You think people with money have it because they had rich parents, luck, or easier life circumstances than you.
I've had it hard. If my parents would have paid for college, I could have had a good job. I had a rough childhood. Those people with money have no idea.
You are easily impressed and seek to impress.
I love designer purses, German cars, Italian clothes, and purebred dogs. I work hard for my money, and I deserve it.
You have poor credit.
I pay my obligations most of the time. It's just that I can't always pay on time because of situations outside of my control. Besides, the banks and utility companies are big, rich companies. They're the enemy.
You put faith into politicians and government. to change the system instead of focusing on how to change yourself.
A bigger government is the solution. More regulation, more programs, and more services. The government should serve the people. Rich people should pay more in taxes for their good fortune. They can afford it, and I can't.
You view pawn shops, payday loan stores, and credit cards as a means of supplemental income.
Groceries can't wait until the next paycheck. My family has to eat. Besides, there's a sale on crab legs for only $18 a pound.
You have filed for bankruptcy at least once.
It wasn't my fault. I overextended myself, and I didn't expect to lose my job. I didn't expect a recession. I don't feel bad about bankruptcy because it wipes my slate clean, and I can start over fresh. Hey, I'm already pre-approved for another credit card.
You live paycheck to paycheck.
Wait, doesn't everyone?
You don't alert a business when they give you incorrect change in your favor.
Are you crazy? If a business makes a money mistake, I'm keeping it. It's not my fault their employees screwed up.
You have a negative net worth and little, if no, savings.
What's the point? You only make 1% on a savings account anyways. And look at all those people who invested in the stock market. Suckers! At least if I spend every dime, I can't lose it.
You have no car insurance, no health insurance, and you have unprotected sex with uncommitted partners.
What can I say? I'm a risk taker. I know that insurance and birth control are important. It's just not a priority.
You regularly gamble at the casino or buy lottery tickets.
You gotta play to win, right? I mean, forget the odds. This time it's different. I just feel it.
You immerse yourself in alternate realities, including websites, celebrity gossip blogs, television, sports, video games, and soap operas.
I just love American Idol. Law, survival, and the people's court. Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., I know exactly where I'm going to be.
You've lost money on get-rich schemes.
There's got to be an easy way to wealth. If I just buy this program, DVD series, late-night infomercial product, I'll have the secret. Get rich easy. It's out there.
Your family cringes when you ask for money, or you quit asking because you know a lecture follows.
Geez, it's just $500. My parents should take care of me until I die. Don't they see how hard I have it? I mean, look at this apartment. The granite countertops need to be replaced.
Can you identify a behavioral pattern? These mindsets are indicative to the sidewalk. Hopefully you're not feeling angry or defensive because that might indicate your beliefs are bred from the sidewalk roadmap. The sidewalk's gravitational pull, poorness. A recession is a bump in the road. How many people have lost their homes due to the current economic crisis? Their savings, their jobs, or their 401ks? The sidewalk offers no protection because you're naked and you can't absorb the hits. If you're hit by traffic, you're roadkill. If you want to be unshakable on your financial road trip, you have to get tough and strap on a bulletproof vest and have a plan that transcends years, not days. A life on the sidewalk naturally pulls you to poorness. Because the sidewalk is always about the short term, it never works for the long term. Your future becomes a mortgage for a pleasant present. Unfortunately, any bump in the road causes the loans of the sidewalk to be called in. A recession, a job loss, an interest rate hike, a mortgage reset. Living on the sidewalk can literally end in living on the sidewalk. If you ask any derailed sidewalker what spun his financial life out of control, he will quickly blame some external factor. Oh, I was laid off. My car broke down. I had no health insurance when I broke my foot. The judge ordered a 20% increase in alimony. When you rev your financial engine at the red line, you're guaranteed to burn out. And then ironically, your pleasant todays turn into horrible tomorrows. More work, more debt, and more stress. I don't know your age, but let's be honest and ask the uncomfortable question. Can you seriously expect to retire on $13,000 in net worth? Or $113,000? Is it rational to think you can live off your home equity refinance? Have you thought about beyond next week's paycheck? At what threshold do you realize that it's time to shift gears and reevaluate? Is there a threshold? Why would something that you've been doing for 5, 10, 20 years suddenly start working? Yes, insanity is doing the same things repeatedly and expecting different results. The sidewalk is not a road to wealth unless your strategy is casinos, lottery tickets, or some poison your spouse insurance scheme. Government aid, Social Security, charity, and my parents will soon die and leave me a fortune. Inheritance is not a financial plan. If you don't want to work at Kmart until you're 75 years old, or you don't want to retire under a bridge in a cardboard box, you have to have a plan. Should life grant you another 50 years, what the heck is your plan? The first step to escape the sidewalk is recognizing that you might be on it, and then replace it with something that works. Money doesn't solve money problems. Newsflash, the sidewalk is money blind. It doesn't care about how much money you make. You can't medicate poor money management with more money. Yes, you can look filthy rich and still be riding the sidewalk dirty. Sidewalkers come from all walks of life, even those with the visual embodiments of wealth. They own businesses, they work high-paying careers like medicine or law, or they live as successful actors or musicians and earn big incomes. The common denominator remains consistent. There is no plan, no savings. Spend more than you earn and trade a secure tomorrow for a living large lifestyle of today. A sidewalker's wealth equation is determined by income plus debt, determined by available credit. Wealth equals income plus debt. Sidewalkers create their lifestyle in direct proportion to their income and supplement that lifestyle with extensive use of debt. All sidewalkers stress about paying their mortgage or rent, paying the utility bills, meeting the minimum payments on their credit cards. It's just what happens when there is no thought given past the happy hour past payday. The affluent sidewalker, income rich. When an income-rich sidewalker goes broke, it makes big news. Have you ever wondered how a rich rapper can go broke 3 years after his last album? Or why a famous actor needs to file bankruptcy a few years removed from the public spotlight? How does one transform an $80 million MBA contract into the oblivion of bankruptcy? I'll tell you, the sidewalk, where wealth equals income plus debt. You don't have to look hard to find an income-rich sidewalker. These are people who look rich, but in reality are one paycheck, one album, or one movie failure from broke. They make large incomes with every dime spent on the next lavish accoutrement. Their lifestyle is accelerated by a big income and a big credit line. Yes, after their big income is spent, they buy more things they don't need with money they don't have, trusting fully that their large incomes will go on forever. I laughably refer to sidewalkers as all credit cards. They drive nice cars and wear expensive clothes, but are one blown gasket away from a total financial meltdown. A member of the Fastlane Forum, thefastlaneforum.com, posted this slice of sidewalking overheard from a friend who works at a lending agency.
A famous rapper was denied a loan for $60,000, despite putting on his application that he was making $400,000 per month. Yet after having two hits in the past year, he must be broke. He also had a terrible credit score. Goes to show you, money management skills and having good credit are very important, even when you are having a ton of success.
Since income-rich sidewalkers earn big incomes, having designer clothes, accessories, and hobbies are commensurate with their earnings. For example, an income-rich sidewalker earns $20,000 a month. They feel justified in buying a pair of $300 jeans. The problem is that, just like income-poor sidewalkers, the income-rich sidewalker's spending isn't satisfied until they burn through their entire monthly income plus more. It's an irrational way to live, as if people fear that not spending the money will cause it to disappear. Earn $50,000 a month? Spend $60,000. Earn $250,000 a month? Spend $350,000. The money outflow always outpaces the money inflow. Someone who earns $2 million a year is susceptible to the same sidewalking pitfalls as someone who earns $20,000 a year. Financial discipline is blind to income. Lack of financial discipline resides on the sidewalk, and it doesn't care what you earn or what you drive. The income-wealth mirage of the sidewalk. Notice how both income-poor and income-rich sidewalkers share the same problems, but different scenery. The reason is, more money is not a solution to poor financial management. Poor money management is like gambling at a casino, because over time, the house always wins. Tossing more money at the deficiency is like trying to plug a hole in the dam with more water. More money doesn't buy financial discipline, and those lacking financial discipline misuse money to delay the inevitable. If you can't live on $40,000 a year, you won't be able to live on $400,000 a year. While you might fret about your $900 mortgage payment, the income-rich sidewalker frets about his $9,000 mortgage payment. The fretting is alike, the problems are the same, only the amounts differ. Only a mindset change regarding money is a solution to money problems. To change your mindset, you must change your roadmap. Get off the sidewalk and stop equating wealth to income and debt. Chapter summary, fast lane distinctions. A first class ticket to the sidewalk is to have no financial plan. The sidewalk's natural gravitational pull is poorness, both in time and money. You cannot solve poor financial management with more money. You can be income rich and still ride the sidewalk dirty. If wealth is defined by income and debt, wealth is an illusion because it is more vulnerable to potholes, detours, and bumps in the road. When the income disappears, so does the illusion of wealth. Poor financial management is like gambling. The house eventually wins. Chapter 6. Has your wealth been toxified? Wealth is the ability to fully experience life. Henry David Thoreau. Society's toxification of wealth. The lure of the sidewalk evolves from society's poisonous and toxic corruption of wealth. Society has resolutely declared wealth's definition for you. Wealth is a chauffeur-driven Rolls-Royce, chartered jets, exotic trips to the South Pacific, a mansion on the bay, and a penthouse in Las Vegas. Society says wealth is 6-carat diamond earrings, Aston Martins, and watches that cost more than most people's homes. Society says wealth is an indecent proposal to buy a romp in the sack with Demi Moore for $1 million based on the argument that the night will come and go, but the money will last a lifetime. So how am I doing? Sound like wealth? Ask 10 people, what is wealth? And you'll hear 10 different answers. Your wealth might be symbolized by a Lamborghini like it was for me, or it might be a farm on 70 acres in Montana and a stable full of racehorses. If you think like most, wealth is instinctually defined by lavish luxury lifestyles. Society has us conditioned to believe that wealth is an absolute construct perfected by material possessions. In fact, I've had to tailor the hook of this book to society's definition of wealth over the real definition. Why the misdirection? Well, like Pavlov's dogs, you've been trained to respond to it. You see, society has done a fabulous job of defining wealth for you, and unfortunately, they again have misled you. But don't worry, if you want luxury, the fast lane can deliver. The Wealth Trinity. What is wealth? Wealth isn't as ambiguous as it may seem. The happiest moments in my life were when I felt true wealth. And guess what? It wasn't the day I bought my first Lamborghini. It wasn't the day I moved into a big house on the mountain or sold my company for millions. Wealth is not authored by material possessions, money, or stuff, but what I call the three fundamental F's. Family, relationships, fitness, health, and freedom, choice. Within this wealth trinity is where you will find true wealth, and yes, happiness. Wealth is strong, spirited, familial relationships with people. Not just your family, but with people, your community, your God, and your friends. At the end of the iconic movie, It's a Wonderful Life, we're given the final lesson. Remember, no man is a failure who has friends. This reflects on the importance of having your life shared with friends, family, and loved ones. Wealth is making a difference. Wealth is community and impacting the lives of others. Wealth cannot be experienced alone in a vacuum. Believe me, the richest moments of my life occurred when I was surrounded by a family of friends and loved ones. Second, wealth is fitness, health, vibrancy, passion, and boundless energy. If you don't have health, you lack wealth. Ask any terminally ill person what they value. Ask any cancer survivor how they suddenly feel reborn, and happiness is displaced from stuff to people and experiences. There is no price on health and vibrancy. And finally, wealth is freedom and choice. Freedom to live how you want to live, what, when, and where. Freedom from bosses, alarm clocks, and the pressures of money. Freedom to passionately pursue dreams. Freedom to raise your children as you see fit. And the freedom from the drudgery of doing things you hate. Freedom is the liberty to live your life as you please. Wealth can't be bought for 60 easy payments. I vividly remember the day. After I sold my company in 2000, my attorney handed me my first installment payment, a check for $250,000. Yippee! $250,000! I'm rich! I made it! I mistakenly gleamed. And now it was time to announce it to the world. I immediately envisioned fast cars, designer clothes, speedboats, and an entourage of bikini-clad women. I thought I was wealthy, and I was going to flaunt it. Unfortunately, that fantasy was miles from reality. Yet, I tried. I bought a candy apple red Corvette convertible. Sports car? Check. Designer clothes from Nordstrom? Check. I researched buying a speedboat until the internet crash interrupted my orgasmic vision. I invested my newfound wealth in tech stocks and lost thousands of dollars. Within months, more than half of my wealth evaporated. And after a conversation with my accountant, another third was soon to be parted with, thanks to taxes. Ironically, in my attempt to look wealthy, real wealth slid further away. With no job, no business, no income, and only a small sum of money, I couldn't support my life forever, nor the wealthy lifestyle I envisioned for someone rich. I wasn't rich at all. The illusion of wealth, looking rich. In pop culture, master illusionists of wealth are called 30K millionaires. If you've never heard this phrase, it characterizes someone who maintains an image of a millionaire, yet they have no net worth. These folks aren't very hard to find. They drive entry-level BMWs with custom chrome rims. They wear fancy designer clothes with gothic cursive lettering from some faux French guy. And they congregate in the VIP section of the club ordering bottle service, all, of course, on credit. These folks broadcast like dashing debutantes with an extraordinary A-game, but behind all the flashing cash, they're miserable magicians of the sidewalk. The problem with looking wealthy versus being wealthy is that the former is easy while the latter is not. Easy credit and long-term monthly financing options, make no payments for 1 year, are all tempting conduits to help you purchase the illusion of wealth. Society has led you to believe that wealth can be bought at a mall, at a car dealership, or on an infomercial. Like my initial spending spree when I cashed my first check, these appearances of wealth are supposed announcements to the world, I'm rich. But are you? When you finance an $80,000 Mercedes-Benz over 6 years because that's all you could afford, that isn't wealth, but impersonation of wealth. You're fooling yourself, and it's a fast lane detour. But don't jump the bandwagon just yet. This isn't a sermon about how you can't spend money on pricey German sedans. Not at all. Wealth isn't embodied in a car, but in the freedom to know that you can buy it. Freedom to walk into the dealership, know your price, pay cash, and drive away. For a gift, I bought my brother a brand new Lexus. It was the easiest transaction I ever did. I researched the car and determined the price I wanted to pay. I walked into the dealership with a cashier's check, and I told the salesman, I have a cashier's check for $44,000, and I want to buy that car. I need a simple yes or no. 20 minutes later, I owned a Lexus. This is wealth, not an impersonation of wealth. When I drive to the gym, I pass a dilapidated apartment complex near the expressway. In the parking lot, I always see the same car parked, a shiny black Cadillac Escalade with 22-inch chrome rims. Do you see the stupidity? You live in a crappy apartment, but you drive a $60,000 car with $10,000 rims. Do I see monitors in those headrests and hear a 24-speaker stereo? Geez, 90 grand of image and $2 of common sense. Wouldn't it be smarter if you focused on owning a nice house in a nice neighborhood instead of leasing the tightest car in the Marbella Gardens apartment complex? Priorities. Some want to look rich, while others want to be rich. Faux wealth destroys real wealth. Faux wealth is the illusion of wealth without having it. It believes society's definition of wealth. It's not realizing that the pursuit of faux wealth does something terribly destructive. It destroys real wealth. And as the chasm between real wealth and faux wealth expands, expectations are violated and misery creeps in. Like a Chinese finger cuff, the more you try to look rich, the tighter the grip of poorness becomes. Wealth cannot be purchased at a Mercedes dealership, but the destruction of your freedom can. Lost in wealth's translation is freedom. People flaunt the icons of wealth, but do not have freedom. And when you don't have freedom, it assiduously gnaws at the other true wealth elements, health and relationships. Take this example.
Henry Sucurato buys his dream house in the Baltimore suburbs for $1.8 million. As a pharmaceutical representative for one of the leading drug makers, Henry's career is on the fast track. His big home has everything he wants, including a pool, horse stables, and an impressive five-car garage. The purchase gives Henry a feeling of, I've made it, for about 8 weeks. Corporate politics and job cuts invade Henry's career, forcing him to work longer hours. He assumes other territories once covered by recently laid off workers. Henry commutes 2 hours daily and is mandated to cover the entire eastern seaboard. He's either on the road, in a plane, or sleeping. The long hours have disturbing clarity. Henry rarely lives at his dream house, and when he does, he spends it sleeping or recharging from the hustle of the work week. His relationship with his wife and his kids suffers. His health declines as the stress of responsibility mount. Henry comes to a moment of truth. I'm not living my dream, but my dream is living me. Feeling trapped to the lifestyle illusion, Henry continues to work, believing the ideology that wealth has its price.
Notice how the destruction of freedom attacks the other sibling wealth components. Unaffordable material possessions have consequences to our health and relationships. The irony of looking wealthy is that it is an enemy to real wealth. It destroys freedom, it destroys health, and it destroys relationships. Foremost, the millionaire fast lane addresses the freedom portion of the wealth trinity, because freedom offers protection to health and relationships. Only you can define your freedom and how you prefer to live. If you want the freedom to fly private jets, well, that's it. If you want the freedom to live a minimalist lifestyle, then that's it. Everybody's freedom is different. Within your personal definition, you will find a big piece of your wealth puzzle, as opposed to society's version, which leads directly to sidewalking purgatory. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. Wealth is authored by strong familial relationships, fitness and health, and freedom, not by material possessions. Unaffordable material possessions are destructive to the wealth trinity. Faux wealth destroys real wealth by attacking its sibling components, health and relationships. Chapter 7. Misuse money and money will misuse you. Money can't buy happiness, but it can make you awfully comfortable while you're being miserable. Claire Booth Lucy. Money doesn't buy happiness. Does poverty? People who declare money doesn't buy happiness have already concluded they will never have money. This old equivocation becomes the torchbearer to their poorness. And since money doesn't buy happiness, why save it? And then logic begs, if money doesn't buy happiness, does poverty? Does the guy who owns a Ferrari automatically have a small penis, while the guy behind the wheel of the Honda must be well hung? Go to Google and search the phrase, money doesn't buy happiness. Page after page concludes that money has no bearing on happiness. Should you be shocked that a Connecticut businessman earning a six-figure salary might be unhappier than a cattle herder in Kenya? Absolutely not. The fact is, these analyses fall short because they don't isolate the real thief of happiness, servitude, the antithesis of freedom. The irony is that when most people earn more money, it doesn't add freedom, it detracts. By creating lifestyle servitude, more money becomes destructive to the wealth trinity, family, fitness, and freedom. According to Creighton University's Center for Marriage and Family, debt is the leading cause of strife for the newly married. Debt and lifestyle servitude keeps people bound to work and unbound to relationships. A 2003 World Value Survey found that the happiest people in the world have a tight sense of community and strong family bonds. After basic needs are met, security, shelter, health, food, our happiness quotient is most significantly impacted by the quality of our relationships with our partners, our family, our friends, our spirituality, and ourselves. If we are too busy chasing the next greatest gadget to strike down the competitive opulence of the Joneses, we finance our misery. The World Value Survey concluded that consumerism is the leading obstacle to happiness. The fact is, there are many millionaires and well-paid career folks who are absolutely miserable, and it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with their freedom. Money owns them instead of them owning their money. The well-salaried workaholic who is never home to strengthen the relationship with his wife and kids is likely to be less happier than the poor farmer in Thailand who spends half his day tending to his fields and the other half with his family. In 2009, the popular American talk show host David Letterman went public with an extortion plot by a producer from another CBS show. The man who perpetrated the alleged $2 million blackmail scam reportedly earned $214,000 a year. Yet the man claimed to be in severe financial ruin, partly due to spousal alimony payments of nearly $6,000 a month. Was this extortionist trying to blackmail a celebrity because he wanted to, quote, buy happiness? What was his real motive? I contend that he was trying to buy freedom because his debts kept him contained in servitude. Would $2 million have made a difference? Perhaps in the short term, but not in the long term, because his relationship with money was already corrupted. A source close to the investigation said he just didn't want to work anymore. In other words, he craved freedom. Normalcy is the rat race, a modern-day slavery. Why am I wealthy versus the guy stuck in morning traffic driving to work? I have freedom. I wake up and do what I want. I pursue dreams. I write this book without worrying about how many will sell. I hop a plane to Vegas for 2 weeks without worrying about jobs, bosses, or unpaid electric bills. Freedom is fantastic. Yet my lifestyle is not normal. Like wealth, society, through its get-rich-slow mandates, have defined normal for you. Normal is waking at 6 a.m. in the morning, fighting traffic, and working 8 hours. Normal is to slave at a job Monday through Friday, save 10%, and repeat for 50 years. Normal is to buy everything on credit. Normal is to believe the illusion that the stock market will make you rich. Normal is to believe that a faster car and a bigger house will make you happy. You're conditioned to accept normal based on society's already corrupted definition of wealth. And because of it, normal itself is corrupted. Normal is a modern-day slavery. I'm amazed that most people perilously operate one crisis away from financial ruin. We've become a nation of undisciplined spenders and consumers. We have become a nation where unfettered spending and material extravagance write our obituaries in the ink of stress. If you're held hostage to your lifestyle, you aren't wealthy because you lack freedom. The proper use of money. Money doesn't buy happiness when it's misused. Instead of money buying freedom, it buys bondage. Wealth and happiness are interchangeable, but only if your definition of wealth hasn't been corrupted by society's definition. Society says wealth is stuff, and because of this faulty definition, the bridge between wealth and happiness collapses. When you don't feel wealthy, you're likely to try to conjure that feeling. You buy icons of wealth to feel wealthy. You crave feelings, respect, pride, and joy. You want